The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
And welcome. We're so glad that you're joining us today. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm Kelly Ellison, and we are back with a new guest today. Some exciting announcements coming up. First, we want to just take a moment to thank all of you for listening to our show. You really make this show possible by listening, by sharing our information with your friends and family. Our goal here is to inspire and educate you all about adoption. If you've been touched by adoption, or maybe you're just curious about it, if you maybe been thinking that adoption might be a path for you, if you'd like to send us a suggestion or an idea for our show, we really love hearing from you. You can send us an email at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com, or you can check out our archives, over 120 shows. You can pick from any topic that you like related to adoption. We just hope that you'll keep listening because we're still out here and we have so much more to share. Speaking of sharing, we hope that you enjoyed our show last week when we had Josh Kroll from NACAC on the show talking about adoption subsidies. Josh was very helpful in helping us to understand all the various different state subsidies that are going on that are so important for the foster care program. Josh is going to be back with us in March, I believe, and he is going to talk to us about the adoption tax credit. We really love featuring that topic. We've had a couple of folks who have talked about the adoption tax credit on the show, and we really love that topic. Very, very popular. Folks want to know. It is a very important part of creating a comprehensive financial plan for your adoption. So you really do need to understand how the adoption tax credit applies to you as you consider the path of adoption. So this week, Whitney Burrell, who is with us, who is going to be talking about debunking the myths of adoption. Now, I love this topic. I don't love this topic, but I talk about this topic often. And so when I read Whitney's article that appeared in the Herald Times Online, read that article, her article about debunking the myths of adoption, it was really wonderful to finally read what I've known for some time. Whitney is a licensed clinical social worker, received her Bachelor of Science degree in psychology at Sonoma State University. She has a Master's of Social Work from the University of Utah. During her graduate work, she worked toward a specialization in mental health, and her practicum was focused on children's mental health. She's worked with diverse populations, including refugees, those faced with addiction, serious and persistently mental illness, and many, many children and families. Whitney currently owns a private practice located in Salt Lake City, Utah, which is focused on couples experiencing infertility and those parenting adopted children. She's trained in attachment-based play therapy, as well as trauma-focused techniques. She loves working with families formed by adoption because of her clinical experience in attachment and because she is also an adoptive mother. Whitney's website is Whitney Burrell, B-A-R-R-E-L-L, counseling.com. That's Whitney Burrell, counseling.com. So welcome, Whitney. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
just appreciate you bringing this topic to us. As I said, this has just been, I talk with our adoptive families as we work with them, our program in adoption finance coaching, when we talk to them about raising money for their adoptions, because they're just out there talking about it and people are just kind of saying the craziest things about adoption. So I'm anxious to get into this topic, but you are an adoptive mother. So tell us about your personal experience with adoption first.
Sure. So my husband and I came to adoption after experiencing infertility, and we did a lot of research on adoption. I had worked with a lot of families who were formed by adoption, particularly through the foster care system, and we decided that adoption was what we wanted to do. We opted for an open adoption, and our daughter is adopted domestically. She was born in Arizona, and she's now 18 months old, and we're really enjoying the open adoption experience that we're having with her birth parents. So,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think once you become an adoptive parent, you kind of join this tribe of other parents and birth parents. That's a really great group to be a part of.
Yeah. Have you been reading my stuff? Because I talk about that a lot too.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I talk about this whole idea of just, you've entered into a club now. It's an exclusive club, really. But it's an exclusive club, and it's made up of all those who are touched by the adoption triad, obviously. But your responsibility, part of your initiation in the club, is to educate folks about adoption. Wouldn't you say that's true?
By default, you kind of become this person who, when people say weird things at the grocery store, you have to take a minute and say, let's talk about that.
Right. I actually guide my families. Don't want to offend anybody here, but I wish I could find this guy. I should actually try and find them and have them on the show. But there was a Facebook, kind of a viral Facebook thing that was going on about a pastor who did a little skit, and it had to do with boob jobs and adoption. So it was hilarious, and it was this whole point about, if you wouldn't say it to someone who had just had a cool job, you would not say it to someone.
Yes, I've seen that. That's so perfect. Yeah,
I'm sure I'm going to hear about this, but it just is. It's one of those things where I think the number one thing that I say to my families when we work with them is, number one, be the non-anxious presence. So that is, remain calm. You know, you have to remain calm as you're out there talking and people are talking to you, because they don't really know what to say. It comes out of this place of being uneducated. And so I try. And then the other thing is just keep a sense of humor, I find that is just a wonderful video. It's on Facebook. You can Google it or search it. I think it's boobs and adoption, or foster or pastor boobs and adoption, or something like that. But I recommend that everyone look at it.
it's a wonderful framework to use.
So your article, Debunking Adoption Myths, is actually the title of the article. It was appeared in the HeraldTimesOnline.com. And did it appear in other publications as well? Did you write it for other publications, or was it part of the blog?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I often contribute to our local news source here, KSL, and then sometimes other news sources pick it up as well. And I often write for articles kind of targeted for people that are parenting adopted kids, or women dealing with infertility, so that they have some resources. So often my articles appear on like reproductive endocrinologists, blogs, or things like that. So
okay. So how did you come up with this idea, to, beyond the fact that that people are saying the strangest things, obviously, but in your experience with adoption, but you felt like it was an important enough topic, obviously?
Yeah, I think, like we've said, that kind of the general population, myself included, before you are kind of inundated in this world, we take our cues about what adoption means and how it happens, and children, adoptees, kind of from Lifetime movies, or someone who says, oh, you're going to adopt, well, my sister-in-law's roommate's ex ex-husband adopted, and then the family returned and took the baby back. And so, and I find, people said that to us, my husband and I, when we were moving towards adoption, and then many, many of the clients that I work with who are on the path to adoption kind of become, by default, the ones who provide the sort of update on, in particular, open adoption, since it's kind of a new phenomenon to their family and friends. So I felt like if I could make it really succinct and think over the ones that I got a lot of the times, that people could use that as a tool.
Well, you can definitely can use it as a tool, and we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to actually go through the list today on the show so that folks get an idea. So get your pens and papers out, and if you'd like to make the list on your own, or you can just go to heraldtimesonline.com, or you can go to Whitney's website at whitneyburrellcounseling.com, and you can download the list that she has, and she has information about each of those. So we are going to talk about it more today in our other segments. What kind of response have you been getting from the article, Whitney?
Excellent response, particularly from adoptive parents who say, oh, this is great, I can just forward this on, and it kind of clears up any of those myths. And I've really found it's also started some good conversation. I've received some feedback from birth mothers who had placed children, 20, 30 years ago when closed adoption was the norm, and wishing that they had the support and education that's provided with open adoption. So that's been interesting as well.
Well, so as you prepared and did the research for this, and I'm sure you knew this already, but specifically, domestic adoption has changed, the landscape of that has changed dramatically, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just been, and the internet basically has been kind of the biggest change agent, I think, for domestic adoption, predominantly taking domestic adoption from this scary, dark place, mm-hmm. This place of just where it's open, it's light, it's love, it's full of information and inclusion, I think. And I really find that is just a breath of fresh air. We've had Adam Pertman on the show many times talking about the effects of the internet on adoption and the whole adoption industry. So mm-hmm. we're very excited about that. So you find that people get their, where do they get their misconceptions from?
I think, like you said, partly that closed adoption had been particularly domestically the norm, and now we're kind of coming upon this way that we know to be healthier for everyone involved. So I think it takes a little while for people to realize this is how adoption is being done now. And I think people, it's just like anything else that is not the norm. People are kind of fearful, and when you tell your grandparents you're adopting, they're like, what? Ooh, that seems spooky. I think it's just not typically how families are formed. And so people don't understand it, and they have to kind of fill in the blanks. And when they fill in the blanks, it's not quite the whole truth.
Well, and I would also add to that, we're going to take a short break and come back and actually dive into your list. But I would also add to that don't we rely heavily on the media and the internet for our information?
Sure.
So if it's on TV, it's got to be true, right?
Right, exactly.
If it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right?
Yeah, so, and TV isn't going to... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and TV isn't going to show kind of the typical open adoption that tends to be drama-free. A revocation is much more interesting for TV, so that's you're going to see.
That's right. Well, it's good to have you with us, Whitney, and I'm sure that our listeners are just waiting, pen poised, to write the list down and listen to this good information. So, again, you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm here today with Whitney Burrell. WhitneyBurrellCounseling.com is her website if you'd like to get more information about Whitney's work. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more.
Thank you. Ask the experts. Call toll free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for listening. We are here with Whitney Burrell with Whitney Burrell Counseling. It's B-A-R-R-E-L-L. Whitney is sharing with us her article, Debunking Adoption Myths, that has appeared on the Herald Times online and also on her website and other publications. Before we jump into the list, I want to just talk about each week on our show. We have resources and that are mentioned on this show and are found on youradoptionfinancecoach.com. At youradoptionfinancecoach.com, you can learn from our coaches great fundraising ideas, step-by-step plans to help you make your dream of adoption come true. The number one barrier to adoption is the high cost. And our services are provided through affiliate agencies, those being European Adoption Consultants, New Beginnings, Beacon House Adoptions, A Step Ahead, Adoption and Beyond, A Baby Step, WACAP Adoption Services, Spence Chapin, and Steffes and Associates. More and more join us every day to create and provide innovative services, financial services to their clients. You can check out our website for a complete list of our agencies providing these innovative tools and help you bridge the financial gap, youradoptionfinancecoach.com. So again, we're back with Whitney Burrell. Whitney is a licensed social worker, counselor specializing in adoption. And so we're just gonna jump into this, Whitney. Let me read the first one from your article and you can talk a little bit about this. This is a big one, I think, and this is probably, I have to admit, I'm going to do an admit here on my own show. The birth father and mother can show up at any time and take the child. My husband and I believed that. We believed that. Now, I don't believe it now, obviously, but we believed that about domestic adoption when we started the process. And I have to tell you that there wasn't anyone that was telling us that that was not true. Okay, in our process. So let's talk about that.
So, yeah, I think that that certainly is a fear and a concern that adoptive parents would certainly have, but the chances of that happening are so small. domestically, once an adoption is finalized, which is typically about 6 months after the child's birth, the child's adoptive parents are recognized by law. So there's in each state, there's kind of a variable waiting period when the birth mother can sign the relinquishment papers, and lots of variation, 24 hours in some states, up to 30 days. So there's certainly kind of a time period where everyone in the triad isn't, you know, there may be some hesitation or a decision hasn't been made, which is probably uncomfortable for everyone. But once the adoption is finalized, that's, you know, like I said, it's recognized by law. And I think it's important to note, too, most ethical adoptions where birth parents have been provided counseling and educated on their options enter into this decision. They don't enter into it lightly. I mean, it's a decision that is they feel is in the best interest of their child. So I don't think that most birth parents are plotting a revenge or plotting to, you know, go get their child. I think that this is a decision that they've come to after lots and lots of discussions.
Right. And you make a couple of really good points here. So first of all, working with a qualified agency, who knows how to do the work with the birth parents and also with the prospective adoptive families. So that is very, very important to work with an ethical agency. In all the work that I've done with agencies, it would be very hard for me to find an unethical agency. All these people are deeply, deeply committed professionals.
Absolutely.
So that is one aspect of this that I think is really important. But there is this time period, even after counseling and all of that, there is that time period, right, in the hospital when the baby's born, right, that the papers have to be signed. And the birth mother signs over her right to parent that child. Is that correct?
Right.
And in some cases, they change their mind. In very few cases, they change their mind, but in some cases, they change their mind. So that is, you do have to know that is, you know, something that can potentially happen. But to Whitney's point, agreed that if the work has been done up to that point, this person is ready for that decision. So kind of two windows. So we're saying really that within that particular time period where they have signed over the parental rights, but then what is the 6 months, the 6 month window? Tell us about what that is.
At that point, then the child is officially in the custody of your adoption agency, although you have all the rights to make the decisions on healthcare and anything like that. But it's sort of like a trial period, I would say, where you have some post-adoption visits where your social worker comes out and visits with you and makes sure everything is going well. And then they set the court date for the adoption to be finalized.
Okay. So that's when actually the adoption of that child actually comes into play. And that's
right.
But the baby is living with you. The baby is in your home. The baby is in your care. Okay. All of those. So, so I'm going to bring it up. So there was a case about a little girl. I can't remember where this was. I'm not even going to say because I'm not really sure where it was, who was a member of a Native American tribe. And there is a clause about this that was related to, if I understand the case, that her father was a member of a tribe and came back and tried to get his parental rights reinstated for her. Mm-hmm. And so she was returned to her father.
Right. You're referring to the Indian Child Welfare Act. It states that tribal government, and there's a percentage that the child has to be of Indian descent, and I don't know what that percentage is, but if they meet these criteria, the tribal government has jurisdiction in child custody cases when the child is a member of that specific tribe. And it's not so much that the tribe wants to take custody of the child. It comes from a historical perspective. Years and years ago when children were being removed from the reservation and parented and adopted by Caucasian parents, and it was a concern that they were losing their history and their culture.
Okay.
So, so that's where it stems from. And, yeah, that's something that, when adoption agencies are working with, birth parents who are of Native American descent, that they, work with them closely to see if it's something that the tribe is interested in, being involved in or not.
Okay. Okay. So there again, it comes back to the adoption professional, right?
Right.
Making sure
right.
that they're doing all of their back end work and making sure that all of the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So that's really good information. I appreciate you bringing the name of that because it escaped me in the moment, but I do know that it's the Indian Child Welfare Act.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get information about that, I'm sure you can Google that. Okay. The next one, birth parents are troubled teens and not to be trusted.
Yeah, I don't like this one at all.
I agree.
A myth that, yeah, I think once you experience adoption and have this relationship, if you're lucky enough to have a relationship with birth parents, it's frustrating when people say, oh, no, those birth parents are, you know, it's not the case. So I think there's a couple points here. On average, now birth parents tend to be in their 20s. They're not like Juno anymore, the movie. So they often birth parents are parenting other children, and they know day-to-day requirements that it takes to care for children, and that may play into their decision to make an adoption plan. So, and so the kind of the definition of a birth parent, among other things, is that they may not be financially, emotionally, or otherwise able to parent a child. And that factor alone doesn't make someone dangerous or untrustworthy. So
Thanks.
So I think that's something to really keep in mind, that stigma is not accurate.
Right. And I also think that what really is important to remember is that this person is coming to this and really working hard to make a responsible decision.
And absolutely.
And so this is a difficult decision. I mean, if any of us would put ourselves into this position and be there to think about that and how that would be for you, this cannot be an easy decision. So
right.
even to just come to that, I think, is a sign of maturity in many ways.
Yep.
We've got another minute, so let me read this one, and if we don't have time to cover it, we'll take a break and come back. Open adoption, which is where the adoptee has identifying information about their birth family and the birth parents, and the birth parents that have been chosen to be the adoptive parents, is emotionally harmful to the child. So basically, open adoption is emotionally harmful to the child.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that?
Well, we've found that that is not true. I think that open adoption takes away the mystery. When adoptive parents can share information about the child's birth parents and their history, the child has more access to understanding their beginnings and understanding why a placement decision was made. And I think a lot of people not familiar with open adoption think, well, isn't that confusing for the child? They've got kind of two sets of parents. But the example I like to use is that children aren't confused by who their aunts and uncles are or who their grandparents are. I mean, there are plenty of
right.
adults in all children's lives, and they understand what their role is, and all those people love that child. So open adoption can be similar that way. And I think, too, that it's interesting, the Minnesota-Texas Research Project has done studies on birth mothers particularly involved in open adoption, and finding that they have lower levels of adoption-related grief and loss compared to those in a closed adoption. So that's
right.
particular to birth mothers, but it makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Knowing kind of where your child is and that they are taken care of has got to be quite a relief.
Well, we're going to take a short break because I think that's really important, and I can relate that to a number of things. So we're going to take a break. We're here with Whitney Burrell. You can find more information out about Whitney on her website, WhitneyBurrellCounseling.com. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. We want to do a call out for our sponsors, America's Christian Credit Union, who's helped to sponsor this show. They are the number 3 on financial institution listing for adoption-friendly workplaces. America's Christian Credit Union provides grants and loans to adoptive families. If you're interested in finding out more information about them, you can reach them at americaschristiancu.com. And then also EACI, European Adoption Consultants. Margaret Cole and her team are always there available to help you with your international adoption needs. Very wonderful staff of folks who are helping families to build their families through international adoption. So you can reach them at EACI.com. That's EACI.com. So we're back again with Whitney, and we were talking about before the break the fact that one of the myths is open adoption is emotionally harmful to the child. And Whitney, you were talking about this Minnesota, Texas research that had to do with birth moms and adopted adolescents. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. So the study also points out some findings related to the norms or the levels of adjustment for adopted adolescents being no different from those of national norms, so meaning children that are biological children, which I think really speaks to open adoption being able to provide a child access to their history, and that whether it feels sort of threatening for adoptive parents to have this openness, that I think I tell my clients, keep in mind this is... that although you're a part of this story, this isn't your story. This is your child's story.
Right, right.
And really allowing for some honest conversation that these topics aren't off limits, and that this is your, you know, the story of your, you know, where you came from.
Right, right. And I kind of compare the experience with my own experience, my own daughter from China. Now, it's not very likely that we'll ever find her birth parents, but I will say this to you, always talking about adoption. We have talked about adoption since the day we got her. And mm-hmm. and what's nice about that is that there's no mystery for her. She knows she can trust us. She can come to us and ask us any question, and we'll do our best to answer that question. So it's also giving you, giving the family an opportunity to build a bond with the child, and then throughout their developmental stages, having that opportunity to talk with them. And I know that you wrote another article about developmental stages, so
right.
We're going to talk about that kind of in the next segment. So the next one is open adoptions like co-parenting. I hear this a lot. You know, it's kind of like, this is not like you're going to share weekends, right?
right. Yeah, they don't. Birth parents and adoptive parents don't share custody. So it's common in open adoption for birth parents and adoptive parents, maybe at the hospital, maybe prior to the hospital, to develop an open adoption agreement, which sets out what the ongoing relationship is going to be like. So how often we're going to have letters or pictures or visits, and also who will initiate that contact. And I think this really allows for some fluidity in how the relationship progresses, because when you're at the hospital or prior to the child being born, it's really hard to look to the future and say, here's what is going to be comfortable for me. So this agreement kind of sets out some expectations, but also allows for some movement in between those.
Right, yeah. So it's, in other words, the point is it's already, there's an architectural process that's going on. You're designing this as you are going through that process. And so you're saying what it is you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And so is the birth parent saying the same thing, right? So you're
right.
Kind of coming to agreement with that. Good.
Okay. Right.
Another one, same-sex parents are not capable of providing a healthy environment for a child. I'm hearing Ellen DeGeneres in my head right now, getting very upset about that one.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so talk to us about that.
Although I think hopefully this is becoming less of a controversial topic, but years and years of research, you mentioned Adam Pertman by the Donaldson Adoption Institute, which does a lot of research around policy implications and recommendations for adoption, has proven that children parented by same-sex couples have the same outcomes as those parented by heterosexual couples, which is that they're happy and healthy. So. It's like, we're done with that one.
What part of that do we not understand? Okay, yeah. So right. sometimes I think folks get clouded by that issue. I think the research says it, so it speaks pretty loudly for itself.
Yeah.
The racial background of children in foster care is that of a minority. And you could almost actually, I think you would agree, Whitney, write an entire book on all the myths about foster care, just foster care.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Yeah,
right?
So talk to us about this one. Yeah.
Yeah. So data from the Kids Count information shows us that 46% of foster children are white, 26% are black, 21% are Hispanic, and then the remaining 9% are multiracial. So I think we have this idea that maybe comes again from media or definitely not personal experience, that kids in foster care are that of a minority. Which is just not true. I would imagine that probably kids in foster care represent the same racial demographic as whatever community they live in.
Right, right. Yeah. And so many things about foster care, and I will say this, I will give the Dave Thomas Foundation a call out, because they have a lot of research on their website, a lot of facts on their website about foster care. And foster care, if it is an option for you, if it's a way that you want to build your family, the Dave Thomas Foundation is a great resource, wouldn't you agree, to go to just
Absolutely.
Learn about all the different aspects of foster care. It's fascinating and a great, great need, as we do have also a great need for international adoption and domestic adoption. As my listeners know, I'm a huge proponent of just adoption. So this is a great way to build your family. And so if you can learn more about it and be a part of it, that is really wonderful. And if you're not necessarily drawn to adoption and you want to be a part of it in some way, there are lots of different ways that you can be a part of it, in helping foster kids, in mm-hmm. helping families, lots of different ways that you can be a part of it. Adoption is born of loss.
True.
That one is true. Okay.
That one's true, I think. I think that that one's kind of an uncomfortable truth, but a truth all the same. I think in general, although adoption feels kind of a need of adoptive parents and adoptees and birth parents, there's no doubt that when children are adopted, they lose a connection to their biological parents and perhaps their culture of origin. So I don't think that because adoption can be born of loss, that it means that adoptees are destined for emotional distress. But I think adoptive parents who can allow for kind of honoring that are able to better be with children and acknowledge that.
I do not dispute that. I think that statement is true, as you do as well. And I want to point out to a wonderful interview that I did with a man by the name of Daryl Rodrock, who came from the foster care system, a 70-year-old man now who has a Daryl Rodrock Foundation. But one of the things that he talks about is that you are not a product of your of how you've grown up or how you were born. You know, you're not a product of that. So while adoption is born of loss, and we agree with that, you don't have to be a product of that. It can be, you have the ability to change that.
That's a good point.
Adoption is expensive. Now, is this a myth or is this one true?
It's both.
Okay, I was going to say.
I mean, we spoke, nothing's black and white in this, is it? We spoke about foster care, which is an excellent way to build your family and can cost little to nothing. So foster care comes in kind of at that, at the part where adoption is not expensive. And then you move upwards, domestic and adoption. I got numbers from the Child Welfare Information Gateway, which states that domestic adoptions can range from $5,000 to $30,000. And I would say probably $30,000
plus. Yeah, that's more norm, right?
And they cite international adoption ranging from $15,000 to $30,000. I would probably add another plus on there as well.
I would go up to $55,000. I am working right now with families who are spending $55,000, $60,000 for international adoption.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think an important point to make on this subject in regards to myth is that birth parents are not paid for the adoption.
Right. It's very important, isn't it?
It does feel like, why does this cost so much money? But I think when you keep in mind all of the professionals, you have social workers and you have attorneys and you have counselors, and all of those people are, you know, this is their job. So as hard as it is, and luckily your listeners have you as a resource for this piece of things.
Right.
Because this
is the hard part. I would add also to this a myth that I think that we kind of try and unravel all the time, and that is that a grant will pay for your adoption. And that is absolutely not the case. What I will say to folks who are obviously, I mean, adoption is expensive, and that is true. But what I will say to folks is that there are ways, very creative ways and comprehensive ways that you can put together a financial plan, and that there are resources that are available out there for you. And so if the money is a daunting task for you and it's a big barrier for you, then I really recommend that you look at some various different resources, because there are many and they're becoming more and more every single day. So we've got a few more to cover, and I want to get a chance to talk about your other article that is related to discussing adoption with your child at the various different developmental stages. So we want to spend a little bit of time with that when we come back in our fourth segment. So again, I'm with Whitney Burrell. You can find Whitney's information on WhitneyBurrellCounseling.com on her website. And we are talking about debunking adoption myths today with Whitney. I'm Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. We're back with our final segment with Whitney Burrell, who is a licensed social worker counselor specializing in adoption. We're talking about her list of debunking myths of adoption. And so we've gone through all of them. The one that I think is really important, Whitney, and that is adoptive parents must be perfect to pass the home study. Now, I can tell you that I have had a friend, okay, who has told me that they were worried that their house was not going to be perfect, their apartment rather, was not going to be perfect, and they did not pursue adoption.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Sad. I know, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but I think a common fear in the home study is like so much anxiety for adoptive parents, but I don't think it needs to be. I think generally a lot of the clients that I have, they're very anxious about it, and then after it happens, everyone's like, oh, that was no big deal.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is no big deal. It does sort of at the beginning feel like an invasion, but it is no big deal. I mean, everybody gets through it and it's not that big of a deal unless you have like, I don't know, let me think, snakes living in your bathroom. Okay. That might be a reason to not pass a home study.
Right.
Otherwise, I think you're good.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense to kind of change the framework that if you were a birth parent, you would certainly want the profiles of the people that you were looking at to be thoroughly vetted, and that's what the home study does.
Exactly. And I personally think everyone should have a home study no matter what. I'm probably going to hear from that too.
I think it's useful that it gives you I think in general, most people who make it to the home study stage have done their own fair share of adoption research.
Yeah.
But if not, when we met with our social worker for the home study, she had some good resources and some good questions for us to think about. And I think that's valuable.
It is. So let's switch subjects here while we have more time in our last segment. So you also wrote another article, and I love this because my daughter is 8.
Okay.
I think about this all the time, Whitney, all the time. And that's discussing adoption with your child at the various different developmental stages.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that article.
Yeah, so I think this is, again, a thing that I heard over and over from my clients is, how do I talk with my child about adoption? They're only three. What do I, you know, am I supposed to be talking with them about it now, or how do I do this? And I think it's complicated, but I love your point about your own daughter stating that you have always spoken with her about adoption from the beginning, and that's the way to go. I think using the child's developmental stage as a guide when you're discussing adoption, I mean, when your child is a, say, preschooler, consider it as a time that you're laying the foundation for future adoption stories, or future adoption discussions, because all kids like to hear about how their family was formed, and conveying early on that talking about adoption is a topic that's always up for discussion is a way to make it feel comfortable and safe. And one thing that I note to parents that I would never have thought of is that, telling your child, especially a preschooler, that you were in your birth mom's tummy is an important thing to note, because I think we often say, yes, you were adopted, but that may confuse kids. Like, well, how did I get here?
So, right.
I think that's an important part to explain, that you were born just like everybody else was born, same exact way.
Yes.
Adoption is happened after that, but you were born the same way everyone else was. So,
And it's also a one-time event. It's an adoption. It's a one-time event. And then the rest is your family. Now your family.
Right.
So it's not like this ongoing thing you have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think we get overwhelmed, especially when our kids are maybe preschoolers or even elementary age, that, well, they're going to ask these questions that I don't know how to answer, particularly if there's some tough discussions in their story, maybe abuse early on, or even if you don't know anything about their birth parents, what can I say to them? I don't know anything about their story. But I think we get ahead of ourselves, and that kids this age are pretty literal, and if you kind of follow their lead and answer the questions that they have, you will be fine. I think that
Well, trust yourself, and I'll just share a very short little experience with my daughter. You were talking about tummy mommies, and at a very young age, my daughter had a little friend who was adopted also, and we were at a party, and it was an open adoption, and she was talking about leaving the party, and I guess the girls were maybe 3 years old, maybe 4 years old, and her mother said to her, come on, we're going to go, and she says, where are you going? Maya says, where are you going? And she says, we're going to see my tummy mommy. And so it kind of created this conversation, and Maya wanted to know what the tummy mommy was, and so I told her, and she got a little unhappy. She was convinced that I was her tummy mommy, and she was pointing at my tummy and touching my tummy. It was very cute. But in that moment, now this is a child who's heard about the word adoption her whole life.
Right.
But in that moment, as you're saying, she had to conceptualize what that meant. And that was, it was a surprising moment for me, because I had never, I had never thought about that. She needs to understand what those steps are.
Right.
So
right.
Great information, Whitney. Thank you so much for sharing this. And I know we'll want to have you come back and talk more about these very, very important topics and how helpful this can be, not only for birth parents and adoptive parents, prospective adoptive parents, but anyone who is really touched by adoption. It's just very, very helpful information, and I want to thank you for sharing that with us. Again, you can find more information about Whitney on her website at Whitney Burrell, Barrell counseling.com, to get more information, download the list, and also read her other articles discussing adoption with your child at developmental stages. So thanks again for being with us. We want to thank our sponsors, European Adoption Consultants, America's Christian Credit Union, for sponsoring our show. Don't forget to listen in for our big announcement when we're going to be broadcasting from adoption.net, your resource for adoption. That's adoption.net. That launch broadcast is coming up soon. So I want to thank you again for being with us today, Whitney. What a great show. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story, that you would like to share, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com, or you can visit us on our host webpage at voiceamerica.com. Thanks so much for joining in with us today. Hope you found the information helpful. We look forward to having you with us again next week, same place, same time. Have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.